Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 443.
On Now You Know. So Tesla has turned on FSD supervised in China.
China.
Yes, you heard that right. Tesla owners in China are being driven around as we speak in Chinese cities like Ningbo. Check it out.
So over the past few days, since it was turned on last Tuesday, a bunch of people have been posting videos and their experiences using FSD supervised 13.2.6 in China.
Everyone I've been following says that FSD works great, handling traffic and pedestrians and scooters and bikes really well.
Yeah, I've been watching a bunch of videos and there are situations I would have trouble handling as an experienced driver, mainly because I'm not used to Chinese roads and traffic, and FSD handled it like a champ.
This effectively doubles the number of cars on FSD.
Yes, that's a really good point. It not only brings Tesla double the training data in the largest auto market in the world, but it also brings in double the FSD revenue.
So do we know if cars running FSD in China is only being rolled out to AI 4 or hardware 4 Teslas?
From the people I've been following, it appears that so far only cars with AI 4 have gotten FSD. AI 3 owners in China say they haven't gotten FSD yet.
So that doesn't necessarily mean it's not coming to AI 3. It's just like here in the States, it takes time to compress the models for AI 3 hardware.
I think so. Ray posted FSD in action in Beijing and being live streamed. Tester's initial impression, more human-like, smooth and confident compared to other similar Chinese systems. Also capable of self-correcting if missing turns or planned route where other systems may be hesitant. I love people experiencing FSD for the first time. It is so fun to watch.
That is cute.
Yeah, so Tesla kind of had to do this. Already, Chinese automakers like Huawei, Li Auto, XPeng, and BYD, they all have some form of autonomous driving modes. Tesla had to enter the game in China.
And it must have been even more challenging for Tesla because of the restrictions placed on them.
Yeah, since 2021, the Chinese government has mandated that all data collected by Tesla vehicles in China must be stored locally within the country.
And on the other hand, the U.S. government limits Tesla's ability to use high-end GPUs, which are critical for AI training, in China, creating a catch-22 situation.
Give me a break.
Yeah, China restricts data exports while the U.S. restricts advanced computing resources, which is hindering Tesla's ability to train FSD effectively for the Chinese market.
So I'm not exactly sure how Tesla was even able to get FSD 13.2.6 up and running so quickly.
I mean, my guess had been that they had trained the neural net inference model on U.S. data and then installed it on Chinese Teslas to get Chinese driving data to get the model to work in China, and that that kept all the Chinese data in the country. But Elon actually said this: we just used publicly available video on the internet of roads and signs in China and used that to train in sim.
So they didn't take this video and just stick it straight into the learning model. They took the video, created simulations based off of that video, and then fed the simulation into the learning model because camera position is very important and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, there's pre-training and post-training. So they pre-trained this. This is 13, basically. So what all of us are using in the States, it's a pre-trained model. After you've pre-trained a model, you can post-train it. You can tweak it. I think that's what they did in China using stuff from the internet. It's amazing that it works at all. And I'm really hopeful that maybe they'll work out some kind of deal so that they can actually start using the data they're collecting as long as they do it within China and not on American chips.
Okay, so this is kind of weird. They're taking 13, which was trained on US roads, and then they're applying a bunch of different things so it can like read Chinese road signs. It's kind of like if you or I were to go to China.
Exactly.
Like, I know how to drive a car. I know not to run it off the road or into other vehicles, but I may not fully understand exactly how the flow of traffic is going to be. Well, I read Chinese.
Right, exactly. You need to learn what a few of the signs mean and so forth. Right. And I mean, so, it's kind of like when we went to Denmark and we had to learn what auto fart meant.
And so that's how it's able to work. They made a competent driver.
Right.
And then they basically taught it Chinese. They taught it what the road signs were. It's kind of like if you were to take a Chinese road test, you'd probably be okay to drive on the roads.
Right. And I mean, right now I hear that it's a little wimpy. Like, it's not as aggressive as most Chinese drivers, but that can be tweaked with some of the settings.
But now it's actually on the roads.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And Holmar's catalog said the launch of FSD in China, while Europe is left with years-old basic autopilot, is an embarrassment to the European continent.
And Elon says, we are waiting for regulatory approval.
So we're always working to create content for the show, not just in our studio, but wherever we are, like a coffee shop or even an airport.
Wi-Fi networks, especially free public Wi-Fi, can be compromised by criminals to intercept your data.
If you watch us often, you've heard us talk about the importance of VPNs.
NordVPN strives to make the internet better than it is today, free from online threats, censorship, and surveillance.
Other VPN providers now offer an online threat protection feature, but under the hood, it's simply DNS filtering. NordVPN Threat Protection Pro offers advanced protection from malware, phishing scams, and more.
Threat Protection Pro also blocks annoying pop-up ads for a smooth browsing experience.
So don't wait to become a victim. Simply enable the dark web monitor in the NordVPN app and let Nord take care of the rest. The dark web monitor keeps scanning for threats even when you're not connected to a VPN server.
Many data leaks go unreported, which means that hackers could have their hands on your credentials right now.
That's why NordVPN's dark web monitor continuously scans discovered hacker hangouts and immediately alerts you if your details are up for sale.
NordVPN offers 24/7 customer support to help you whenever you need it.
Dedicated apps for all major platforms, 30-day money-back guarantee for all users, and one account protects up to 10 devices.
Get 4 months extra on a 2-year plan here at nordvpn.com/nowyouknow. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
Thanks to NordVPN for sponsoring this episode.
So we just got the latest version of Tesla's full self-driving supervised 13.2.8. And we've been having it drive us around all week to see what it does.
Now, I think it's important to understand that while it uses the same pre-trained system, right, the core AI foundational model that we just talked about, that's the number 13, that's what that designates, and that can take weeks or months to train. The 2.8 means that this is a fine-tuning of that model using post-training tweaks to refine specific behaviors without overhauling the underlying model.
So what did we discover?
Well, in layman's terms to me, in the previous version 13.2.7, I didn't feel much of a difference. But in 2.8, it feels to me like FSD went from being like a 19-year-old driver to a 19-and-a-half-year-old driver. It feels better. Just a little bit more confident, more experienced in a bunch of subtle ways.
Many people are posting that 2.8 feels like it has smoother transitions for blind right-hand turns.
Right. So like say you're pulling into a parking lot with snowbanks on either side of the entrance like we have all week. FSD now pulls up to take the turn, stops, fully assesses the situation, and then commits to the turn with a smoother rollout. It's very human-like.
And people are reporting snappier performance in hurry mode.
Yeah, so hurry mode is one of the three driving modes, right? Chill, standard, and hurry. And I'm also definitely getting less nags from the driver attention monitoring system. It seems to know that if I'm looking around while FSD is engaged, that I'm still taking in the road in front of me as my head swivels. Many people are reporting nags have gotten better too.
Many people are reporting that 2.8 has better exit lane behavior on highways.
Yeah, it's now shifting into the exit lane earlier.
It used to wait till you were exactly half a mile from the exit, which sounds fine, but in many traffic conditions at highway speeds, that could give you less than 30 seconds to get over, which can be tough.
Now it seems to get over at about the 0.8 mile mark.
And I've noticed that it's pretty variable, which is good because all interchanges on highways are different.
Right. It still doesn't seem to have game sense like you were talking about before, but at least it's giving more time.
Many people have reported better autonomous parking performance, especially in everyday parking situations like the supermarket and restaurant parking lots.
I didn't experience that. Did you?
No.
It seemed just as dumb about that as ever. Like it pulls in, gets you to the restaurant, and then it's like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, when we were testing it, it was a pretty busy day, so there wasn't like a ton of parking spots. Obviously, if it's an empty parking lot, there's no challenge. But what it usually will do is drive you to the entrance of the restaurant,
or which is great,
where the GPS point is, and it's usually very accurate. And then you're usually like by the handicap spots and by all the full parking spaces.
And it will pull into the handicap spots.
Sometimes it's done that. Other times it seems to clearly avoid them. Sometimes it'll just kind of give up. It'll like pull a little bit further and then it'll be like, well, we're here.
I would like to see a setting that you can tell it how you'd like to approach parking.
Mm.
For instance, if it's a nice day, I don't care how far I park from the place, you know, that's fine. But if it's raining out or cold or whatever, or if you have someone elderly with you, then it would be nice if it did pull right up to the entrance. let them out, and then help you find parking. I just think that that would be a pretty easy fix. But again, I don't see how people are saying it's gotten better, because for us, it hasn't.
Well, and the other aspect of this is there's basically two parking models. There's the when you're in FSD, which means that it's going to drive you from Kingdom Come all the way to your destination and then try and find the parking space. And then there's the other parking mode, which is when you're driving the car, you can drive near some spaces and it'll be like, hey, that's a space. And it'll show you on the screen. You tap the spot and you say, go park. And that system doesn't seem like it's been updated in about a year.
Yeah, it seems like you revert from a 19 and a half year old back to a 15 year old. It's just like, whoa, yeah. What do I do here?
You'd think that this would be a pretty simple problem, backing into a space. I know that not everyone's great at it, but most people don't have cameras all over the car that are directly wired into their brains. Sometimes it just seems to swing wide. It does it all way too slowly. So that hasn't been updated at all.
And that annoys people around you.
Yeah, because you're like, you know, in a parking lot. Now, lastly, many are reporting better obstacle avoidance, reacting to potential hazards in its path.
Yeah, and I can't wait till we get to like 13.3 and 4 and so forth.
So have you ever wondered how Tesla's Cybercab gets that gold color?
Yeah, I think Tesla went down to the hardware store and we're like, I'd like to get 9,000 gallons of gold paint for Tesla Cybercab fleet, please.
Do you want that in eggshell or semi-gloss?
Semi-gloss, I guess.
Well, no, Tesla actually removed that step.
What, the step where Tesla had to send someone to the hardware store, or the step where they had to go back to get the paint stirrers they forgot?
Well, Tesla does need to buy the gold paint, but they don't need the traditional paint shop for Cybercab. I'll let Lars Moravi, Tesla's VP of Engineering, explain. You inject the polyurethane paint at the same time that you're making the plastic panels. There's no paint shop with that vehicle. We put the colors in when we make the panel. That's it. If you want to repair it, it's just basically paint.
Okay, wait a minute. That's actually a big deal. I mean, the typical paint shop uses a lot of energy. Up to 40% of a factory's total energy can be spent on the paint shop because of all the environmental controls.
You need highly skilled workers, really expensive paint systems, you need constant maintenance, and just the materials, the primer, paint, and coatings, cost about $100 to $300 per vehicle.
So about 7.5% of the cost of the typical vehicle is the painting process. I did some rough calculations with Grok, and we estimate you could get a 10% savings on the Cybercab over, say, a Model 3.
Not to mention the savings in factory space and equipment.
It's amazing how many times Tesla has innovated just in body panels alone.
Tesla started by making cars with carbon fiber body panels back in the Gen 1 Roadster days, back in 2008.
Yeah, and then primarily aluminum body panels went into the S and X.
Then stainless steel on the Cybertruck to eliminate painting and make an indestructible body panel.
And now with Cybercab, a polyurethane plastic that is cheap to make.
And easy and cheap to replace without the need to repaint after a fender bender.
That's a really good point, because Cybercab's going to get into fender benders. And then if they had to completely rebody work the whole car, it would cost a lot. But now you just pull off that corner panel, slap on a new one, you send it right out. And speaking of Cybercabs, we've been reporting for the past few weeks that Cybercabs have been driving around Giga Texas.
Boring. I already knew this. Cybercabs driving around autonomously, big deal. They've been doing this since November.
Well, hang on. Okay, they may not just be driving themselves around. Look at this photo from drone pilot Joe Tegmeyer.
So it's got a passenger. So what?
No, no. Take a closer look.
Is that a steering wheel? What's a steering wheel doing in a Cybercab?
Yes, indeed. So not so boring now, is it? What is a steering wheel doing inside a Cybercab? Is it so that a human can help train it? Or is it because this is going to be Tesla's new lower cost vehicle, like so many people are saying?
No.
Liar!
Spoiler alert for you. It's not. They're not going to put steering wheels and pedals in the Cybercab and let you drive it.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Okay, well, let's go to some actual data, shall we? Okay. I asked Grok to go through every transcript of every earnings call for the past 5 years.
Okay.
And I came up with some quotes.
Okay.
That back up your argument, but also fight your argument.
Okay.
So during the 2024 Q4 earnings call, Elon said that, quote, a regular $25,000 model is pointless. That goes to your point. And he said that Tesla is all in on autonomy. So I agree with you. But when an analyst asked him about the $25,000 vehicle, Elon did acknowledge that, quote, not all markets are ready for fully autonomous vehicles yet. And he hints at the possibility of, quote, a transitional model that could, quote, be easily upgradable to full autonomy.
Okay, but this was before they actually fully designed the Cybercab and it worked.
I agree and I don't agree. I don't know anymore. I was fully on your side, but then it does seem weird that there's a steering wheel in one. So what do you guys think? Do you think that a two-door, two-passenger vehicle that's very similar to the Cybercab, but with a steering wheel and pedals is what Tesla will release later this year as the affordable $25,000 Tesla vehicle or not? please let us know down in the comments.
It this all has to do with when Elon said it. And in the most recent earnings calls, he said that they will never make another vehicle that is anything but autonomous.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just there's so many people out there that seem to know that there's going to be this $25,000 car.
No. They want to believe. That is very different than knowing and listening to what Elon has to say and not letting their hopes and dreams cloud their judgment. The other point I would just like to point out, you can get used Teslas for far less than $25,000.
Oh, that's right. We're going to talk about that later in the show.
So I just, you know, I know that everyone's excited and then maybe they would make, they're not going to. Just, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I hate to be sounding like a jerk. It's just that we have been listening intently the whole time and they're not going to do it. I'm so sorry. Comment down below.
All right, it's time for Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So remember when that Cybertruck carrying fireworks and gasoline cans exploded in Las Vegas on New Year's Day?
Yes. And do you remember how the Cybertruck survived the explosion intact and probably saved lives?
Yeah. So I wonder if that influenced the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, because they announced last week that they have received 10, count them, 10 Tesla Cybertruck police cruisers.
Sheriff Kevin McMahill said that the Cybertrucks will be used as Las Vegas Metro Police Patrol and SWAT vehicles, and that these bulletproof trucks will keep officers safe and serve as a recruitment tool.
So this now means that the LVMPD has the largest fleet of Tesla police trucks in the U.S.
So did Elon give these Cybertrucks to the Las Vegas Police Department? Because I saw some people that were saying that.
No, Elon didn't. But venture capitalist Ben Horowitz and his wife Felicia Horowitz did. So Ben Horowitz is a co-founder of the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz. And that was nice of them to gift these to the Las Vegas Police Department. I wonder how these Cybertrucks are going to get assigned to police officers, though.
All right. Next on this morning's agenda, we've got some new Cybertrucks. We're going to assign those on a first come, first serve basis.
Oh, Sergeant, can I sleep in the locker room?
No, Baxter, you can't sleep in the locker room. You just have to be here on time in the morning. Your guys are going to have to fight rush hour traffic just like the rest of us.
Oh, man.
And we just learned that Upfit from Unplugged Performance is going to be outfitting those 10 Cybertrucks.
Ben Chaffee, the CEO of Unplugged Performance, said, "On behalf of Upfit, we are thrilled to be building a fleet of Cybertrucks for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. This project is next level and will be the most badass Cybertrucks we've ever built. I'm excited for the public to see that later this year." And pictured here is Las Vegas Police Department Chief Mike Gennaro and his team at the Upfit facility getting those trucks ready. So Cybertruck has won Motor Trend's 2025 Best Tech for Chassis Technology. Motor Trend said, "By completely removing the mechanical connection between the steering wheel and the front tires, Tesla fundamentally reimagined the rack and pinion steering the auto industry has spent nearly 100 years refining. That change unlocks real, tangible benefits. Thanks to steer-by-wire, Tesla's 6,900-pound stainless steel megalith moves with uncanny agility."
Motor Trend went on to say, "Tesla uses that flexibility to give the Cybertruck the quickest steering of any production vehicle at parking lot speeds and more relaxed responses at highway speeds for smooth, steady control."
Motor Trend said, "Doing what it does best, Tesla once again ignored industry norms and turned concept car technology into a reality."
And Elon said, "Cool."
Cool.
And Wes Morrill, Tesla's Cybertruck lead engineer, found some things he liked in the Motor Trend article. He said, "Shout out to the engineering team for the work that went into making steer-by-wire feel as natural as riding a bicycle. This Motor Trend article has some good technical tidbits embedded. I added a chart below that helps illustrate the variability. The steering ratio adjusts over a huge spread from an unheard of 5-to-1 at a crawl to 12-to-1 at the top end. If those numbers mean nothing to you, just know this. The Cybertruck steering at its slowest is more responsive than the Porsche 911's variable ratio rack at its quickest." Okay, so take a look at this chart here. Blue is when you're parking, green is when you're in city driving, and yellow is highway driving. So the x-axis is road wheel angle, and the y-axis is hand wheel angle from 0 to 180.
And the interesting thing about this, I've noticed, is that if I need to make a turn very quickly, the truck suddenly feels heavier, which is good because it's a good indication that you need to slow the heck down. You have to go like, wow, I really do need to turn.
However, probably my favorite part to read was the Motor Trend staff was initially suspicious of variable ratio computer controlled steering. Surely it would never feel as intuitive as the mechanical cars we've known and loved, right? But several of those skeptics didn't even make it out of the parking lot without becoming believers.
Yeah, it's
nice.
It is cool. It's definitely something you have to get used to. But once you do, going back to a regular car, you're like, did someone loosen the wheel? Is there a nut loose somewhere?
Nick Cruz Pantain said, "This is epic. Tesla FSD navigating dirt mountain roads in China."
And Elon said, "Teslas can even drive them themselves on dirt roads with no marking.
So anyone who lives in a place that gets snowy in the winter knows that part of getting through a snowy winter involves plowing and salting the roads.
And when you drive on salty roads, you inevitably get your windshield salty, which causes streaks.
Cyberbeast posted, anyone having wiper issues besides me?
And Justin Braza said, yes, it absolutely does not put out enough washer fluid to properly clean the windshield.
MNG said, yeah, I agree, but this is my only complaint with Cybertruck so far. We need a software update to increase the washer fluid discharge rate by 10 to 20%.
Well, it appears that Wes Morrill, Tesla's lead Cybertruck engineer, was listening, and last Thursday he posted, thanks for the feedback. If you hold the washer button through two cycles, the wiper will now continuously soak your windshield, effectively doubling the amount of fluid dispensed. This helps with the stubborn road salt when needed and maintains the quick cleaning functionality for everyday use. It's going out over the air update 2025.2.8, which deployed to Wave 1 last night and will soon go to the rest of the Cybertruck fleet. You will see it called out on the release notes.
Okay, well, we need it now, Wes.
I know.
Just do it!
I'm excited to try it. I tried it the other day and I don't have the update, so it didn't work. But it does seem like that would help.
A lot, I think.
A lot. The biggest problem is the windshield's so big that the windshield wiper moves so fast at its tip that even if you're dispensing a lot of liquid, it just isn't enough.
Maybe they can slow it down too.
I know.
Holmar's catalog posted, pretty cool that you can now connect to your Tesla directly over Bluetooth when there's no cellular. Despite being in a dead zone underground garage, I was able to view charge status, precondition, etc. without a problem. And Tesla said also comes in handy when car camping in areas with no cell service, so you can adjust climate or other settings without having to reach for the touchscreen.
This is really, really smart. There have been a couple of situations where Tesla owners, particularly Glenn Howerton, who plays Dennis on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he parked in an underground lot, his fob died, and he wasn't able to connect his phone
to
the car. So he had to tow his car out of the garage just so that way he could, like, basically open it. The Bluetooth, that is a really smart move. I wish they had done it sooner, but I'm glad that they've done it now.
That's the gang's fault. That's not me. I'm cool as a cucumber. It's all good.
So you may remember the Sondor's Metacycle. We not only reviewed it on our Now Let's Review channel, but we bought one.
You know that Sondor's only made 1,574 of them?
That's it?
Yeah, and very few were shipped out of California.
So we might have like one of the only Metacycles in the Northeast. So if you're interested in getting your own electric motorcycle and you live in the New England area, we are selling our Metacycle. Not because we don't enjoy it, but because we're running out of space to store it.
We're even going to throw in an extra battery and rear motor wheel.
So fill out our form at the link in the show notes below if you're interested.
And do it quick, because I think with the warm weather coming, this is going to be gone fast.
So our buddy Will from Tesla Jigsaw is back with another great video.
Let's see what Will's up to today.
I've come to visit a company that design, develop, and manufacture bolt-in systems to electrify classic cars, and they ship these conversion kits for Minis, Porsches, Land Rover Defenders, and even boats all over the world. So if you'd rather zero emissions, reliability, and cutting-edge tech for your classic car, Felton, here in Bristol, England, might just float your boat. But before I show you around the facility, I need to make sure that these seamless electric powertrain integrations work well, don't I?
So let's go and have a go in Mr. Bean's Mini. Look at this, it's been fully converted into electric. I haven't driven an original Mini for such a long time, so I'm so excited. Let's go. I literally feel like I'm in a go-kart. It doesn't make sense that this is called a car, let alone you can fit four people in it.
But let me give you some stats on this beautifully restored Mini. Oh yes, I'm having a lovely day. 0 to 60 in 8 seconds with optional power modes. Range 110 miles, plenty for city driving or short commutes. With original Minis puffing out a whopping 30 to 60 brake horsepower, this electric beast dishes up 1,000 brake horsepower. Just kidding, it's 100. That's perfectly quick enough for a baked bean tin. It takes just a day and a half to fully install the electric system. Whip out the engine, pop in the EV conversion kit, which consists of the motor, batteries, power electronics, and you've got yourself a reliable, zero emissions, wannabe sunshine powered, awesome little car. I know that there will be some classic car purists watching this and screaming at me right now, but honestly, would you rather spend your time broken down at the side of the road or blasting silently around Britain's beautiful roads with a smile on your face? Well, almost silently. Still hear the road noise, can't you? But have you noticed something about this Mini? Look a bit familiar to you? Yes, it's actually Mr. Bean's Mini. Replica.
Here you have a full Porsche 964 G-body system just being tested front battery pack. All the cooling system, so you got the accelerator pedal, the lever.
I hope you'll agree that companies like Felton are well worth supporting. They are looking into the future and providing solutions to electrifying beautiful old cars, keeping them alive by providing electric retrofits. So check out Felton.com for more info. Thanks, guys. Back to you.
Thank you, Will. Oh my God. Thank you, Will, for telling us about Felton.com. We'll put the link down below in the show notes.
If we had known about Felton when we converted our MG Midget, we could have saved ourselves about 2.5 years of work.
I can't even imagine. Look, everybody listen up. Please take a moment, won't you? Support the great work that our friend Will is doing over on Tesla Jigsaw. Go subscribe to his channel and check out his awesome, fun, informative content now. Do it today.
Do it.
So last week, Lucid announced that Peter Rawlinson, the CEO of Lucid, is no longer the CEO. He has stepped down. COO Mark Winterhoff is now serving as Lucid's interim CEO while the Lucid board searches for a replacement.
That must hurt.
Ooh, that's not a good sign.
No, it is not. We are going to discuss this a bit more on Investor Club bonus stories this week, so please join us on Patreon if you'd like to learn more.
Remember November.
So remember in November of 2016 when Tesla acquired the German company called Grohmann Engineering?
Yeah, I remember that Tesla renamed it to Tesla Grohmann Automation, and Grohmann makes special automated manufacturing systems that were used to enhance Tesla's production capabilities, especially the Model 3.
Yep, and then 4 years later, in October of 2020, Tesla bought another German company, ATW Automation, that made battery module and pack assembly lines.
Okay, why are we going down German companies that Tesla's acquired memory lane?
Well, because it's about that time again for Tesla to buy another German company.
Oh, and look at that, they did it again.
Yeah, this time Tesla Automation, that we just mentioned, is taking over some assets from Manz AG, a German supplier specializing in automation and battery production techniques, which just filed for insolvency in December.
So what's Tesla acquiring from Manz?
Tesla Automation is taking over Manz's facility in Rutlingen, Germany, which is located here.
So that's about 700 kilometers, what, a 7-hour drive from Giga Berlin?
Yep, and a 4 or 5-hour drive from Tesla's two Tesla Automation facilities up in the Northwest.
Although you're on the Autobahn, so it's really up to you how long it takes.
Could be 2 hours.
Tesla is also getting 300 Manz employees who will transition to Tesla Automation as part of the acquisition, along with some movable assets from Manz's operations. Another 100 employees won't transition to Tesla, but will be offered opportunities to join a transfer company to support their career transition.
And we don't yet know how much this acquisition cost, and the deal won't be finalized until it's approved by the German Federal Cartel Office under merger control law.
Don't want Tesla to become a cartel.
So this is pretty cool for Tesla. It's something that they've done before.
Yeah. I mean, as Lothar Toms, the managing director at Tesla Automation, said, we're getting qualified employees with a high level of expertise in high-tech mechanical engineering. The Rutlingen site is an ideal complement to the continued successful implementation of our global automation projects in the Tesla group. We are very pleased to be realizing future innovations there. And insolvency administrator Martin Mucha also shared his insights on the matter. He said, we're pleased to have successfully concluded the negotiations with Tesla to have saved many jobs and thus to have enabled the employees to have a professional future in what is probably the best known automotive group in the field of electric mobility. Hey, a German government official said something nice about Tesla. That's nice.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
All right, it's time for some SpaceX news. SpaceX posted SpaceX training complete. Falcon 9 is targeted to launch Dragon and Crew 10 to the space station no earlier than Wednesday, March 12th from Pad 39A in Florida.
And if you're confused about which mission is going to rescue stranded International Space Station astronauts Butch and Suni, it's technically not going to be Crew 10.
Wait a minute, I'm confused. I thought Crew 10 was going to bring Butch and Suni back.
It will technically be Crew 9 mission, which was launched last September and is currently docked to the ISS.
So then why don't they just hop on and go home?
Well, Crew 9 can't return to Earth until Crew 10 arrives with NASA astronauts Anne McClain, Nicole Ayers, JAXA astronaut Takuya Onishi, and Roscosmos cosmonaut Kirill Peskov.
That must be a fun conversation, huh? To be up there. Let's talk politics tonight, comrade. So I see. So the Dragon Crew 9 ship will bring them back, but they can't come back until these four astronauts get there to keep running the ISS. Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. So last week, SpaceX sent 4,000 Starlink terminals to the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, to help improve their computer systems. Elon sent them because the FAA's current internet system run by Verizon isn't working well and could fail completely, which might put people flying on planes in danger. These Starlink terminals were supplied to the FAA on an emergency basis to restore air traffic control connectivity with no payment required from the FAA.
But didn't the FAA pay Verizon $2.4 billion in 2023 for an overhaul to its communication system?
Yeah, the FAA wanted to overhaul its 20-year-old system, modernizing the network that links over 4,600 FAA sites and supports critical air traffic control functions. Verizon's promise was to use terrestrial high-speed fiber cables to create a more reliable, secure, and high-bandwidth system to keep pace with the demands of modern aviation. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like Verizon was able to deliver. As the Washington Post reported last week, the FAA is close to canceling a $2.4 billion contract for Verizon to upgrade the agency's communication networks.
Elon said the intermittent connectivity issues of air traffic control centers is putting aircraft at risk.
He went on to say the Starlink terminals are being sent at no cost to the taxpayer on an emergency basis to restore air traffic control connectivity. The situation is extremely dire.
And the FAA is now testing these new Starlink terminals in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and Alaska.
And speaking of Starlink, the number of Starlink customers is growing steadily.
In May of last year, 2024, Starlink had 3 million customers.
In December, that number grew to 4.6 million.
And now, just 3 months later, Starlink just surpassed 5 million customers.
That means Starlink is adding almost 6,800 customers per day. Starlink is now available in 125 countries. And I love that scene at the end of the video with Starlink on the inflatable boat showing Starship landing in the ocean. Remember that? That was a Starlink doing that.
And Elon said, trending well.
And here is the T-Connect team in Botswana, Africa, installing Starlink for communities during floods. T-Connect says when disaster struck, the T-Connect team stepped up. Connecting communities one terminal at a time, we worked in collaboration with Starlink to bring high-speed internet to those displaced by flooding in Botswana, ensuring that they stayed connected when it mattered most. This is what we do, creating real connections that make a difference.
And SpaceX launched the first asteroid mining mission last Friday.
So aboard is the spacecraft called Odin, which is the first private spacecraft to travel into the solar system. It's made by a startup called Astroforge, and its mission is to study asteroid 2022 OB5, which is a million miles away from Earth and may contain platinum, cobalt, and nickel.
It will take Odin 300 days to get there and take close-up images of the asteroid. If platinum is found, a second mission will launch next year to attempt a landing on the asteroid to take samples. I wonder, do the samples come back? I mean, our backyard's pretty big if you want to just land it right there.
Also aboard that SpaceX flight is a robotic moon lander called Athena, which will drill into the lunar surface looking for water.
Elon said, fun mission.
Oh, and by the way, it landed.
Oh,
that,
my gosh.
There it is.
And that, hey, look, we're there.
We're right there.
We're in that picture. Yep. Hey, and so are you. And you. And everyone you've ever known. Elon said, congrats.
SpaceX has filed the paperwork at Starbase for Elon to build a new Ad Astra Montessori school near Starbase. This 34,000 square foot school will serve students from infancy to grade 12. Phase one of the construction will begin next month and cost $20 million, and the construction should be finished by January.
Now, I thought there already was an Ad Astra school at Starbase.
There is. So right here near Starship Launch Control is the old school. But the new school looks like it'll be a lot bigger because now there's a lot more people at Starbase. And after all, Starbase is going to be an actual city soon.
So this might be the Starbase public school? Is it a private town? Is it like a private town like Kohler, Wisconsin? And
I don't know. It's an incorporated city, so I don't think it's owned.
Okay. So there's going to be...
I don't know if it's private school. I don't know.
So will there be a public school?
I mean, I think it's a private school, but I don't know if employees have to pay. Look, comment down below how the school works right now. I don't know.
We just don't know. Siobhan Zillis and Elon Musk acknowledged the newest member of their family, their new son, Seldon Lycurgus.
So the name Seldon, drawing inspiration from Isaac Asimov's Foundation series character, Harry Seldon, the one who predicted the civilization's future, and Lycurgus from the ancient Spartan lawgiver.
Elon now has 14 children, his fourth child with Siobhan after twins Strider and Azur and their daughter Arcadia.
And John Krause posted this picture of Starship being brought to the launch pad. Elon said thousands of changes to this ship versus the last one.
He went on to say, so good to see the improved forward flaps, Lot to learn on this flight.
And John Krause said, Starship lifted into position for stacking ahead of Flight 8 tomorrow. Of course, by the time you watch this, it hopefully already launched. And Elon said, literally about 100 experiments running simultaneously on that heat shield, which is part of why it looks so patchy. All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
If you want to get the best shaver in the world, you can. You go to hensonshaving.com/nowyouknow. Not only will you be able to buy what is essentially the best razor in the world, you can also get 100 blades for free, put them in your cart, and if you use our code at checkout, you will get them for free.
Do you think my sister would like it for her birthday?
I mean,
I never think of women needing shavers, but everybody shaves.
Everybody shaves. Something to think about.
Corey, don't watch the rest of the show. Escape into the
future. So according to the Las Vegas Review Journal, the Boring Company is going to be building a housing project linked to the Las Vegas Loop.
So this is going to be like a Mars-like future below-ground complex?
No. The Boring Company is planning to build a 132-unit, six-story, above-ground, U-shaped building that will be located at 4300 Paradise Road. This building would also have ground-level shops with a drive-through, and the building is planning to have a bar and lounge open only to residents of the building, along with a game room, a gym, and a courtyard located on the second floor. This is all according to plans filed with Clark County. Now, normally a building of this size would have to have 189 parking spaces, but because of its connection with the loop, the county is allowing for only 24 parking spaces.
For 132 units. Interesting. So this building would be close to the University of Las Vegas's campus and the airport.
But why is the Boring Company building housing? I thought that they were a tunnel company.
Well, the Boring Company, through an affiliate company, bought this land last July for $6.4 million and got the land use permit a couple weeks ago. So they're still waiting on the final approvals from the city. But having been a building contractor and a member of a municipal government for decades, I can tell you that getting these approvals is far quicker and cheaper for the Boring Company than if they were trying to build a station without owning the property. So my guess is that after the Boring Company builds the station here, they will build the housing and then sell the housing building. This was probably a way to get the project to move quicker. The Boring Company has experienced a few delays over the past few years due to fire safety and permitting issues, and I think this is a way to speed things along.
So this new apartment building could be really nice for residents who can get around the city using the loop because it's soon going to be connected with the university nearby and the airport, and more of the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, I mean, the loop station is just going to be like an elevator away, and it won't be noisy or smelly. Like, usually you think about having an underground train station under your house, which I practically did growing up in the city, and it's like, it just...
Oh, here's the train.
Train's here.
Yeah.
But next up for this project, the Clark County Planning Commission is scheduled to review the plans on March 18th. And then after that, the Boring Company needs approval from the County Commission, which will likely take a few months. So probably construction couldn't begin any sooner than fall of this year. And I just think that's really cool. It's going to reduce traffic in the city because most of these people, I think, because there's so few spaces, won't be driving.
No. Can you actually do this? You can have over 100 people in this building and they aren't going to drive in Las Vegas. This is not, we're not talking about Amsterdam here. This is Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's going to get pretty hot in the summer.
Well, you know, we did ask our patrons this week on the poll whether they would move in here. So we'll have to wait and see what our patrons think later in the show.
Interesting.
All right, it's time for sunspots.
Although, could be going green.
What, this next story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A new research article from John Michael Wieden claims that countries dedicated more land to golf courses than solar and wind energy combined.
You've got to be kidding me.
So take a look at this map here. All the green dots, by the way, are golf courses. So the United States has 16,297 golf courses on over 8,000 square kilometers of land.
Now, neither of the authors of this study, nor Zach and I, have anything against golf courses.
Right. This isn't like renewables versus golf. The author of the study is using golf courses to demonstrate a point to dispel that solar and wind would take up too much land.
Wait, can we go back to the 8,000 square kilometers number?
Okay.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that number. How big is 8,000 square kilometers?
Okay. Well, do you know how big the state of Rhode Island is?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you know how big the state of Delaware is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all the golf courses in the United States would not quite fit into Delaware plus Rhode Island. 4% of the golf courses would still be left out.
What?
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah. It's a lot of land.
No, I thought that Delaware was already just one big golf course.
And there's 38,427 golf courses worldwide. In fact, here's an interesting chart from the study.
Okay, so the x-axis is the area of golf courses per country in square kilometers. Mm-hmm. And the y-axis is the number of golf courses. And the size of the circle is the proportion of golf courses to the land area of the country.
Right. If you look at that one there, that's the UK. That's about 0.5% of the UK is golf courses.
And Japan is not far behind.
Right. Neither South Korea.
Interesting.
Now take a look at this chart of just Europe.
Okay, so the y-axis on the left is the number of golf courses. X-axis is time from 1980 until today. And then on the right is the capacity of basically renewables in gigawatts. And so you can see that Europe went from 3,000 golf courses in 1985 to about 9,000 today.
Yeah.
So golf is just about as popular as renewable energy.
Yeah. Blue is onshore wind. So that grew in gigawatts from zero in the 1980s to 160 gigawatts today. And yellow is solar. That also grew from about zero in the 80s to 140 gigawatts today.
And for people who are like, so we should take all the golf courses and rip them all up and install some. No, that's not what we're saying.
I think the study's author is just kind of showing you that things like golf courses have the space they need for them. And there is the space needed for solar and wind. If obviously you can have all these golf courses, you can definitely have the space you need for solar and wind.
Because there's no crisis in the right. United States where we're like, there's too many golf courses today in the news. Another right. golf course has opened up and it has completely devastated the local area. They haven't. It's not the problem. It's not a problem. Like, are golf courses a problem? Maybe you don't like one particular one, but for the most part, no, it's not a big deal. And what they're saying is we've used less area for solar and wind than we have for golf courses. So if anyone ever says to you,
well, the solar and wind is going to take up so much room,
you can go, are you worried about golf courses? And if they go like, well, no, you'd be like, well, then you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, and you can't put a golf course on your roof, you know?
Watch me.
Hey, and if you'd like to put solar on your roof, but you have questions, call our friends at Energy Pal. They will help you go solar and battery for less. Link is down below. Tell them Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, we need your stories. Send them to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Caroline spotted this EV bus up in Vail, Colorado on her way to a peach festival.
What's up, peachy people? We're ready for round two here in the Nissan Leaf. We're going up to Palisade, or over to Palisade, however you want to look at it, from Golden to Palisade, Colorado for Peach Festival.
Well, I find myself here in Vail, Colorado at 7:47, just when I thought I would be closer to Palisade. But this bus is 100% electric. I've got to go see it. I'm just out of this weird convenience store. Prices are outrageous. I guess if you're stuck here and you want to buy something, like food.
Like, silent. There's no junk in this trunk. I love it.
Don't forget to subscribe. You can find me at ipassgas.org.
Wow, that was quiet.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caroline. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. Remember, for just $1 a month, you can join our Patreon, support the work we do, because it takes us days and days to do what we do, and you can get to see all of our Patreon bonus stories for the whole month. All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the poll. Would you live in a boring home?
And again, that's the Las Vegas Loop apartment. And let's see what our patrons said. 63% said yes, and 37% said no.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people who said no were like, how am I going to do most of my daily chores and stuff without a car? Which is a good point, except I would respond, cybercab.
It's true. Someday soon.
This might also be telling us something about where Elon's going to put his next cybercab robotaxi network. Las Vegas would be a cool city for that. The weather's good. It's laid out well for that. So this could take care of that problem.
And it's really pointing out what the buildings of the future may look like, where you don't need to spend as much energy, time, space on parking, and you could spend more time and energy and space on human habitation.
Yeah. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. So if you're not into it, fast forward. Data Hazard said, remember when every federal employee got pwned during the Obama administration?
Elon said the security is so weak that other countries could have held a block party in government systems and they wouldn't even know.
Wall Street Mav says, let's say this in a simple way. Maybe the Democrats will understand. Elon is not coming for your cash. He is exposing those who are mismanaging your cash.
And Elon said, bullseye, and they want to kill me for doing so. That's how you know it's a big deal.
Byron Donald says, Democrats are flailing over Musk and Doge gaining access to IRS data. But in 2023, Joe Biden gave 53 unpaid researchers and student volunteers access to the same system, and they said nothing.
Elon says, wow, I didn't know that.
The Associated Press says, breaking, more than 20 civil service employees are resigning from Elon Musk's Doge, saying they refuse to dismantle critical public services.
Elon says, more fake news from Associated Propaganda. These were Democratic political holdovers who refused to return to the office. They would have been fired had they not resigned.
Elon then said, DC has been a ghost town for years because almost everyone worked from home. Farzad Media said Elon Musk should go on Jon Stewart's Daily Show.
And Elon says, I will do it if the show airs unedited.
And the Daily Show got back to him and said, Elon, we'd be delighted.
And then Elon added after the fact, he said, and live on X.
Elon says, if any judge anywhere can block every presidential order everywhere, we do not have a democracy. We have tyranny of the judiciary. Department of Government Efficiency says today the federal government exceeded $100 million in annual rent savings through cancellations of 250-plus vacant underutilized leases, totaling 3 million-plus square feet. With 7,200 current leases, there is plenty of available office space for the current workforce.
Elon says, crazy that the government was just renting and paying for upkeep services of hundreds of empty buildings. Still way too many leases on unused buildings.
Elon said, time to find out what really happened to the hundreds of billions of dollars sent to Ukraine. Homar's catalog says, based on what you read here, you'd imagine that there were riots on the street, every Cybertruck had a swastika spray painted on it, and everyone would be angry. I live in LA, one of the most liberal cities in the country. There are Cybertrucks everywhere. None of them vandalized. Teslas are as common as Toyotas. Nobody's angry. The anti-Elon propaganda we see online is dramatically exaggerated, and you can see that clearly when you go outside and touch grass.
And Elon said, true. The problem is, I live in New England, and all the grass is covered with snow.
Elon said it is much easier to hide corruption when the system is extremely inefficient. However, corruption sticks out like a sore thumb in an efficient system. Elon went on to say it might make sense to increase compensation for Congress and senior government employees to reduce the forcing function for corruption, as the latter might be as much as 1,000 times more expensive to the public. It's kind of what we did here in Massachusetts. We gave the toll booth operators a huge pay increase so they wouldn't just steal the cash.
But in the end, we saved money, I guess.
Elon said the taxpayer savings receipts, including corrections when mistakes are made, are posted on the Doge website. When there are complaints, they should be directed towards specific items, but they just yell, "Constitutional crisis!" and avoid mention of specific line items. He went on to say hundreds of federal workers are being promoted daily every time we encounter excellence. The Doge team will be more clear about this. The goal is to make the federal government a meritocracy as much as possible. Yimby Land says Amtrak just initiated the RFQ process for building the Texas high-speed rail. It's happening, y'all.
And Elon posted,
I think he can bid on that with Boring Company.
Ooh.
You're going to like this one, Jess. Aaron Francis says, Electronic Arts just released the source for a bunch of old Command & Conquer games. Who's going to be the first to do a modern remake? Can AI do it?
And Elon said, cool, I played that.
So did we.
I did too. There wasn't a lot of great games back then. And that was an amazing game for the time, and it still is awesome.
Elon posted this. Everyone at Fort Knox right now. I Like Tesla's posted, I went into enemy territory. I started to defend Elon on lefty Facebook pages.
And Elon said, troll radical left Reddit by saying nice things about me for the most fun.
Danny Lemonsetta says, I've built 4 game prototypes with Grok so far. I've always wanted to make games since young, but I suck at coding until Grok happened. I think I need to go lie down for a bit.
Elon said, cool, only gets better from here.
Elon then posted, Keynes was a great evil. Elon is, of course, here talking about the Keynesian economic theory that all government spending contributes to GDP. We now know that to be false. Elon posted this meme. Elon then said reducing fraud and waste on your tax dollars by $1 trillion in 2026 is possible. Nick Sortor says breaking, NYPD is now making mass arrests after anti-Elon protesters took over a Tesla showroom in Manhattan. These terrorists are hell-bent on scaring Elon Musk into silence. Hasn't worked before, and it sure as hell won't work this time.
Elon said Doge has a very high approval from the people as a whole, but the grifters super hate it.
Elon then said it will require outstanding execution, but I think more like 1,000% gain for Tesla in 5 years is possible. He went on to say prosperity is what happens when you cut government overspending and excess regulation. And if you're wondering what Elon's been reading lately, the Persian Expedition. He then went on to say, leaders and diplomats enjoy Michelin-starred meals while soldiers die in trenches, the reality of war. Jeffrey Hinton said, I think Elon Musk should be expelled from the British Royal Society, not because he peddles conspiracy theories and makes Nazi salutes, but because of the huge damage he is doing to scientific institutions in the U.S. Now let's see if he really believes in free speech.
Elon said, only craven, insecure fools care about awards and memberships. History is the actual judge, always and forever. Your comments above are carelessly ignorant, cruel, and false. That said, what specific actions require corrections? I will make mistakes, but endeavor to fix them fast.
Elon said, what I said over 2 years ago was that Ukraine should seek peace or suffer severe loss of life for no gains. The latter was Zelensky's choice. Now he wants to do that again. This is cruel and inhumane. Desmond Oliver says, I'll let him post details, but my friend in the Tesla community, who everyone knows, infiltrated an anti-Elon website and organized a fake Elon protest at a city dump, and people actually showed up. Top-level trollery.
And Elon laughed.
Elon says, it's wild how much the media can brainwash people. And it's now time for Community Mail Time.
Community Mail Time.
So Tim spotted this Cybertruck in Las Vegas.
Nice. Steven spotted this Cybertruck on display in Auckland, New Zealand.
Here is Robert with his first ever new vehicle, the first to charge at the Sebastopol, California Supercharger.
Nice. Chris got some more shots of the Tesla diner in West Hollywood. When's it gonna open?
Did you know Giga Texas started after they started working on this and it was completed before it?
I kind of believe that because I'll bet it's been horrible going through the permitting process. Miranda spotted these Teslas in Seattle.
Roger spotted this wrapped Model Y in Gator Alley in the Everglades in Florida.
Is that why the picture's taken from inside the car?
Yes.
James's son took home silver with his Cybertruck Pinewood Derby car.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Mark sent us this picture. Guess where it's from?
Germany?
New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
Love Deep went to go check on the new Model Y in person in Quicksilver. He said, wow, the pictures online do not do it justice. It looks absolutely legit in person. Oh, wow. I mean, it looks really good.
In pictures, not in person. I know, right? Tim just test drove the new Model Y in Hengelo in the Netherlands. So they're actually doing test drives.
Wow.
Very exciting.
They're so fast with putting those out. Roger spotted the Cybertruck with Starlink on the roof in Naples, Florida.
Lex spotted this Rivian Amazon delivery van in Jessup, Maryland.
Yuri spotted this Lightning pickup truck for $51,000 at Costco in San Francisco.
Which explains why we had to sell ours for so cheap.
Wow.
So they've really come down in price. Douglas spotted this Honda Prologue in Toronto.
That must be one of the most rare cars there.
Definitely. Bryson had noticed that one of the Charlotte, North Carolina supercharger stalls was down for a while. He came back and saw them repairing it. Check it out.
Wow. Look at the size of those cables. Han spotted this roof inspector in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. That's a raccoon.
I didn't know that there were raccoons in Mexico.
I didn't either.
John spotted this VinFast in San Diego. It was an Uber, and the driver said that he loved it.
Tom spotted this Rivian Amazon van. He got to speak to the driver, and Tom said he likes the van a lot, says it has a lot of room inside to organize deliveries, and even after a 10-hour shift, it still has 60% charge left. I'm sure that when this young guy in his 20s goes to buy a car in the future, he will seriously consider an EV. I think you're right.
Mateo spotted this BYD Seal on Phillip Island in Australia.
Yuri spotted this Model X with a matching blue bike rack. That's pretty sick.
They're pretty serious. Yuri also spotted these Shell charging stations in San Francisco.
Brian was at the Palm Coast Supercharger at what looked like a Cybertruck meetup, but it was just a normal Monday.
Jason spotted this Cybertruck with this wrap down in Miami.
So Ryan spotted this Chevy Silverado on Angel Island in the middle of San Francisco Bay.
Now, it looks like a government vehicle, and I bet they pretty much never need to charge it because Angel Island is like 1 square mile big. And lastly, Quinn found out that a 2021 Model S Plaid costs less than a new Model 3 Performance after taxes and fees and including incentives.
But what?
Yeah. And that's a Model S Plaid with less than 30,000 miles.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Quinn, I guess, on your new Model S. Because
wow.
That's a good deal. So yeah, when people are talking about like, oh, dude, Teslas are so expensive. Not
that's
anymore.
That's a supercar.
It's basically a supercar that you can get for less than a Model 3.
That's insane.
Crazy.
Wow. Thank you, Quinn. And remember, share your stories and your tips and everything like that with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com because we love hearing about them. All right, we're about to do our superchargers, but I thought we'd stop and do some beautiful superchargers.
Okay.
And Tesla Charging said 6 sites signed already, 20 plus sites in design review. Let's lock in these layouts, Steak and Shake. And Steak and Shake said, thank you, Tesla Charging. Let's do over 100 locations. Consider all sites approved.
And Elon said, cool.
Cool.
So if you like Steak and Shakes, you're going to be able to charge there.
We talked about this
years ago.
Years ago. We were like, hey, you know, it would be really smart. You're going to be somewhere for 20 minutes supercharging your car. Why wouldn't that place be a fast food restaurant?
They finally got it.
They're like, hey, wait a minute. But you know what else is beautiful? When you replace gas pumps with superchargers.
Yes, this is going to be a new 16-stall supercharger location in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the Wawa on Sunrise Boulevard. The construction permit shows that 8 gas pumps will be removed and 8 supercharger stalls will be going in their place, along with an additional 8 supercharger stalls, so a total of 16 stalls. Thank you, Marco Arpai. Great to follow him because he knows about everything supercharger related, so go on X and follow him. All right, it's time for supercharger reviews. Let's see what our viewers have found out there in the world.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is David. I'm reporting from the new Lompoc supercharger. It's actually in a place called Vandenberg Village, which is about 10 miles outside of the main gate for Vandenberg Space Force Base, which obviously SpaceX has an amazing installation at Slick 4, as well as where they stack the rockets and so forth and do the launches. But this is a really nice install. I'm thinking 16. I didn't count them closely. A couple of handicaps right here and then some behind me. Looks like there's some pull-throughs, which are nice as well. But this is not online yet, so it will be probably soon. It looks like everything's done, probably just waiting for the connections. But it's pretty nice because there is some food and restroom facilities right behind me. There's a grocery store, a couple of little restaurants, coffee shop, Subway, and so forth. So I would give this, when it does open, I would give this probably 8 out of 10, only because it's so badly needed in this area. There's nothing in the city of Lompoc at all, and this is going to be a huge addition to the area just outside of Vandenberg Space Force Base. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, this is the Deep River Supercharger, which is on the 17, the Highway 17, which is a shortcut kind of across Ontario if you're driving across Canada. There's the charger here. It's got just six stalls. Yeah, it's in a Canadian Tire parking lot, which Canadian Tire is kind of a Canadian department store / hardware store / car repair place. They've got service bays over here to fix your car if you've got anything that they can fix on your Tesla. And other than that, there's not a lot here. There's like a Tim Hortons, which is a fast food restaurant, but you kind of have to walk down the highway to get to it. It's behind me over here past those trees. Not great. And there's like a Chinese restaurant over there somewhere. I guess my head's in the way somewhere. Over there. Yeah. You can hardly see it. It's quite a ways away, all the way across the parking lot. Anyway, I'd give it about a 4 out of 10 as a charger. But here's the cool thing. It's one of the two locations in Canada where there are magic docks. So if you got a car that is not a Tesla, then you could charge it here. Maybe I'll bring mine. I have two non-Teslas. Maybe I'll bring one of them up here and try it out. I don't know. That would be kind of cool. So maybe that gives it a plus one. So maybe it's actually a 5 out of 10. And yeah. So now you know.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is Mark. I'm at Reno's soon to be open 21 stall. With one pull through at the Gold Ranch. It's the last stop before going into California and Turkey. There's a Jack in the Box here, a Subway inside, a Sierra Cafe. Casino's open 24/7, and the bathroom's also for 24/7. It's a beautiful location. Lots of places if you have a pet to let them relieve themselves. So I'd give this a 5 just because the location, easy on, easy off. On the freeway. Now you know. Bye.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is the new version 4 charger at Capitola, California. It's like we are right next to a Burger King and a number of shopping centers, so this is the best it gets. Now you know.
Thank you so much for doing supercharger reviews. If you're like, oh, I love this section of the show, but I wish I could know where the superchargers actually are, you can head over to our website, nowyouknowchannel.com. We have a whole section on our website with a map, so you can actually look on the map and see all the supercharger reviews and upload your own.
We might have the only website in the world with no ads on it. All right, what do we got for new superchargers?
We got the 8-stall version 4 in Getafe, Spain.
We have number 113 in Australia, the 6-stall version 4 in Bowen Hills, Queensland.
Number 82 in Spain is the 10-stall version 4 in Granada.
We have an expansion from 8 to 16 stalls version 3 and 4 in Rudern, Germany.
An expansion from 8 to 16 stalls version 4 in Florence, Italy.
Number 85 in Sweden is the 16-stall version 4 in Malmö.
The 6-stall version 4 in Offenburg, Germany.
Number 237 in Canada is the 12-stall version 4, 325 kilowatt in Calgary.
Number 8 in the Czech Republic is the 12-stall version 4 in Jam.
Number 85 in Virginia is the 8-stall version 4, 325 kilowatt in Manassas, Virginia.
Number 244 in Germany is the 8-stall version 4 in Munster, Germany.
The expansion from 4 to 12-stall version 4 in Atalaya del Carnavate, Spain.
The 8-stall version 4, 325 kilowatt in Refugio, Texas.
The 3-stall version 3 in Saitama, Japan.
An expansion from 12 to 20 stalls version 4 in Saint-Pierre-de-la-Roube, France.
Number 185 in Texas is the 8-stall version 4, 325 kilowatt in Falfurrias, Texas.
An expansion from 4 to 10 stalls version 3 and 4 in Mucke, Germany.
Expansion from 32 to 36 stall version 3 and 4 in Ulm, Germany.
3 stalls version 3 in Meizhou, China.
Number 2197 in China, the 3-stall version 3 in Nanning.
Number 127 in Japan is the 4-stall version 3 in Atamiyajiro, Japan.
Number 537 in California, the 24-stall version 4 in Sacramento.
Number 66 in Georgia, number 2569 in the United States, the 12-stall version 4 in Oakwood, Georgia.
And lastly, number 85 in Hong Kong, number 7082 in the world is the 4-stall in Fenling, Hong Kong. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, this week. I can't wait to get over to do our Patreon bonus stories, our Investor Club bonus stories. So if you'd like to support us and the work that we do, we really do need your support. YouTube does not really help us out much anymore.
Nope.
So if you would support us, that would be great. And we have a whole lot more content for you waiting at Patreon.
We'll see you over there.
Now you know.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.